Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Kritis. Today is January 3rd, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast is Marching Towards War. I hope that is not the case, but it appears more and more likely as we make our way through the news cycle. Today, of course, we were talking yesterday on the attack that killed Iranian General Soleimani. There's a continuation of reports this evening of further drone strikes north of Baghdad, killing additional Iranian militia forces. So this is not a one-off. This is a continuation. Now, of course, this could very well be protecting American interests and American lives. That is the story that is going to be pushed by this administration to the masses. This is very reminiscent of 2003, before we got into Iraq, 2002-2003. You know, it is the year 2020, and they say hindsight is 2020. Clearly, that is not the case here in the United States of America. There is no appreciation whatsoever for history. And I'm not even talking ancient history. I'm talking something that happened in the last decade. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. It doesn't matter if we're talking about foreign policy blunders. It doesn't matter if we're talking about economic policy blunders. It doesn't make any difference. We're just going to continue with the same old song and dance, with the same playbook, with the same script. And basically, we're doing with the same cast of characters. Of course, some of the names and faces have changed, but behind the scenes, there's no doubt about it. It is the same powers that be. It is still the military-industrial complex alive and well. The draining of the swamp has not even started. The kiddie pool has not even been drained. A Federal Reserve that is out of control. A federal government that is once again spending out of control, trillion-dollar deficits, a military-industrial complex that has just received nearly $3 trillion over the course of the past 3.5 years, and the list continues. That, by definition, ladies and gentlemen, is the swamp. There is no checks and balances. It's all a game. It's all a charade. Everything is a distortion. Everything is a distraction. And of course, some, especially in the media, on the left, are saying, well, Donald Trump did this. He attacked the Iranian general because he wants to distract the people from what's going on with the impeachment process. Could be. That's a possibility. This is highly reminiscent of what Bill Clinton was accused of doing when it came to Iraq, when he was impeached a couple decades ago. Wasn't that long ago, folks? Not even. Not even. It's always in the Middle East. It's Iraq, it's Iran, it's Afghanistan, it's Libya, it's Syria. We have the global protests taking place in those countries, in Lebanon as well. You still have the political chaos and uncertainty that is taking place in Israel because there is not really a duly elected prime minister. Maybe third time is going to be a charm. We will see what happens. But hindsight is not 2020 here in the United States of America. It is the same song and dance. President Donald J. Trump came out this afternoon. He had a rally down in Miami, but he also came out before that rally giving what was a very, very short speech or comments in regards to the assassination of the Iranian general, basically saying we are not for regime change. This action was not to start a war, but to end a war. Well, I didn't know we were in a war with Iran. Apparently we are. Of course, we have the economic sanctions that have been placed on them under maximum pressure, the maximum pressure campaign that has been on for quite a while, which is probably igniting a lot of the protests that are taking place in Iran, because it's not just targeting the Iranian leadership, it's also targeting the people of Iran. That in and of itself can be construed as an act of war. If that happened against the United States, I can assure you, ladies and gentlemen, we would not tolerate it. But of course, the Iranian people and the Iranian regime, they're supposed to tolerate it. Because Big Daddy America says so. I couldn't really believe the words that were coming out of Donald Trump's mouth this afternoon because it was so reminiscent of what we heard in 2002 and 2003 in the run-up to the Iraqi war. Same things from George Bush, even before that, because that was George Bush when he was a candidate for president in 1999 and in 2000. No war, anti-war, no nation building, no regime change. Boom. In office, flip. 180. And we've been paying the price for the past 20 years. And now, there's really no end in sight. This is a big gamble by the Trump administration, by the president himself, to do this. No regime change? Are you kidding me? This, by definition, is regime change. We read that article from the New York Times yesterday, and there's been nothing but stories through every media channel. I don't care who you're listening to, liberal, conservative, middle of the road, whatever it is, all in agreement that this Iranian general was top dog. He was in line to perhaps become the president of Iran. That is regime change. Because he was not some idealist. He was not some revolutionary who was going to turn the tide in Iran with a different philosophy. He was going to be status quo. You killed a guy that could have become the president of Iran. That, by definition, is regime change. Not starting a war? Well, I ask this question, ladies and gentlemen. Imagine this scenario. A major general here in the United States of America is in a neighboring country, let's say Canada. He's at the Toronto International Airport. And some Iranian missile comes down and strikes him from on high, kills him. You think the United States is not going to construe that and say that was an act of war? Of course we would, because that's exactly what it is. It's exactly what it is. Now, there is no question that there is a whole bunch of serious diplomatic back-channeling taking place between the United States and some proxy, maybe Switzerland, maybe Japan, talking with Iranian counterparts to calm this, to make sure that it does not escalate. Of course, we have no idea how the Iranians are going to respond, but we can imagine that they will. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in the form of a physical attack. It doesn't necessarily have to be a bombing, although it could be. It could be cyber warfare. It could be cyber attacks. It could be a combination of things. And it does not have to take place in the Middle East. God forbid it takes place in the United States. But it could happen anywhere. It could happen in an embassy, a United States embassy, somewhere in Africa, somewhere in Asia, South America. It could happen anywhere. It's on high alert. And of course, all of the pundits, all of the politicians today are being asked the question, are we safer today or are we less safe? Depends who you want to hear. Depends what side you come down on. But I can tell you this, the United States State Department is evacuating Americans from Iraq. So clearly, at least in the short term, America and Americans are less safe. This guy was a bad dude. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There are a lot of bad dudes walking this planet. Do we take them all out? At what cost? At what cost? Because we're also told by the administration and the president himself that there was intelligence, very damning and very pressing intelligence, that the Iranians, under his leadership, were about to attack Americans and American interests. And it had to be stopped, and this was the way to do it. Where did we hear that before? There's damning intelligence. We have to respond preemptively. Oh, that's right. In the run-up to Iraq. What was the words? It's a slam dunk, sir. It's a slam dunk. Wasn't that George Tenet, the former CIA director under the Bush administration? It's a slam dunk that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction. We go over there. Whoops, they're not there. They're not there. Hundreds, thousands of Americans hurt, injured, killed. Tens of thousands of Iraqis killed, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, displaced, turned into refugees, their country destroyed. And remember that, what do? That annual press dinner or whatever the hell they call it down in Washington. He had George W. Bush up there joking about it. Oop, no weapons of mass destruction under here. Meanwhile, people are dead. People are displaced. Lives are ruined. Countries destroyed. Billions of dollars gone that we didn't have in the first place. Ah, but who cares? Let's have a joke here in Washington, D.C. Very funny, isn't it? This country has been falling apart for years, and we clearly have not learned a damn thing. We are on the verge of World War III. I pray it doesn't happen. I pray I'm wrong in this, but I have told you for months, when all else fails, they take you to war. Oh, and get this. Some of you may have come across this. It was on some media channels. Got to go to the Twitter feed of Donald J. Trump. Back in 2011, 2012. Look out, Republicans. Look out. Barack Obama is going to take us to war in Iran so that he can win re-election. He's playing his own fiddle. It's his own song and dance. It was in Donald Trump's head when he was a civilian sitting in Trump Tower 8 years ago, 9 years ago. Now he's president, going into perhaps his second term, at least an election year, and he's saying the same thing, or basically doing the same thing that he said Barack Obama was going to do. He's going to get us into a war with Iran so that he could be reelected in 2020. This very well could be a distraction from impeachment. It could also be a distraction from the crumbling economy. U.S. factory activity shrinks the most in 10.5 years. That's the ISM. The ISM manufacturing PMI in the U.S. fell to 47.2 in December. 47.2. The lowest since June of 2009. This is from a reading of 48.1 in November and well below market expectations of 49. 47.2. Anything below 50 is contraction. Anything above 50 is expansion. 47.2. Does the president mention this? Of course not. It's not good news. Just like a whole host of other things that we read off yesterday. And the day before that, and the day before that, and the month before that, and the month before that. Fed liquidity is the golden goose that keeps laying the golden eggs until it doesn't. This is not a real economy. This is all juiced. Tax cuts that were a temporary shot in the arm. Deregulation that's a temporary shot in the arm. No cutting of spending, by the way. $1 trillion deficits as far as the eye can see, and that doesn't take into consideration any type of recession. If there is one, it's going to be $1.5 trillion, maybe two. And if we go to war, oh, God only knows what it's going to be. I'm a little upset, as you can tell. I don't like war at all. I don't think there really is anybody that does. Of course, the military-industrial complex might. You know, that was one of our chapters in the Cynic's Guide to Investing. War, what is it good for? We'll tell you. And we outline it in great detail. It's great for profits. It's fantastic for profits. And if you were watching the markets today and you looked at those companies, Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, General Dynamics, they took off like a rocket because that's what they make. They're the ones who make the weapons of mass destruction. Dow Jones Industrial Average gave back 226 points, down 0.8%. The S&P 500 gave back 22 points for the day, down 0.7%. The NASDAQ 100 gave back 71 points, a decline of 0.8%. And then don't forget black gold, WTI crude oil up, trading at $62.80. Brent, the international metric, is at $68.60 a barrel. Meanwhile, natural gas continues its decline, hovering at $2.10. per million BTUs. We have gold again rallying, sitting at $1,555 an ounce. Silver at $18.01. And then Uncle Sam's U.S. 10-year treasury. Flight to safety, folks. Huge flight to safety today. It is now yielding 1.79%. That is Uncle Sam's 10-year note. 1.79%. It was only about a week and a half ago, it was at 1.92. We said there's been a huge disconnect here between what's going on in the stock market with this melt-up and what's going on in the bond market. Well, here we have it. Another flight to safety, because who knows what's going to happen. And I think the brevity of President Trump's speech today, or announcement of what took place the other night, is indication that there isn't really a full plan. Just, you know what, I'm going to be the tough guy. We're going to take this SOB out, and then we're going to see what happens. We're going to see what happens. Of course, he did not consult with a whole bunch of people in Congress, but that's par for the course. I'm not holding this against Donald Trump per se. This is what Clinton has done. This is what Bush has done. This is what Obama did. Trump's just a continuation of the insanity. He's just a continuation of ignoring our Constitution. And of course, now it's convenient for the Democrats to come out and say, oh, well, he didn't talk to us. Were you complaining about Obama not talking to you? No. No. You complained about Bush. You see, it's all partisan. It's all politics. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. They only pull that out of their pocket when they need it, when it serves their interests. If they cared about the Constitution, we wouldn't have $23, $24 trillion in debt. We wouldn't have trillion-dollar deficits. We wouldn't have a Federal Reserve. We wouldn't be embarking on endless wars. They don't give a damn about the Constitution. They just want money. They just want power. They just want profits. That's what this country has sunk to. That's where we are. That's where we've been. This is the same playbook, almost verbatim. If any of you are listening to this and paying attention, do you disagree? Go back and YouTube something that George W. Bush or Vice President Dick Cheney said in 2002 and 2003. It's exactly what Donald Trump is saying. We had to take preemptive action. It's an intelligence report. Well, let's see the intelligence. Why was it so eminent now? Then there's conflicting stories. Well, Bush had the opportunity to take this guy out, but he didn't do it. Obama had the chance to take this guy out, but he didn't do it. And you have some people coming out and saying, no, that's not true, blah, 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 blah. Again, a podcast we did a few weeks ago. Who to believe? You have no idea who to believe. This is war. The first casualty is always the truth. Always. The truth. So I don't know who to believe here. This was a bad dude. This is a bad guy. There's a lot of bad guys out there. Can't kill all of them. There's a lot of bad people in this country who have ordered the killings of a lot of people. I'm sure those countries think we're the bad guy. I know those other countries think we're the bad guy. It's just a continuation. It's a dog chasing his tail. What's he going to do if he catches it? It's all it is. We train these people. We train the Mujahideen. That's Osama bin Laden. Now we got to deal with him. Then we take him out, and then you got to deal with ISIS. We play sides. We stick with Iran. We stick with Iraq. Now we got to deal with Iran again. It's back and forth, back and forth. He's my friend this time. He's my enemy next year. Then it's a combination of both because we got to deal with this other idiot. Then we take him out. Now it's back to where we were before. Can't make heads or tails of anything. This is why we were supposed to listen to our founders. Adhere to our Constitution. Do not get involved in foreign entanglements. Very simple to do. Mind your own business. We have enough problems in this country as it is. And we take care of none of them. Not a single one. K-12 education is crumbling. Secondary education, college is a business. There is no learning. It's more about sports. It's more about facilities. How good does the cafeteria look? How good does the gym look? How good does it look? That's what it's about, not what are you learning. Everybody has a bachelor's degree. You know what that means? They're worthless. They're worthless. But guess what? You got $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 worth of debt. Medical costs up 20% year over year, but there's no inflation. A president who is calling openly for negative interest rates. the stealing of your money, your purchasing power. The list goes on and on and on. Infrastructure crumbling. Manufacturing in contraction. Transports in contraction. Retail in contraction. Construction in contraction. PMI numbers at 10.5-year lows. Another report out today. 9 states are headed towards contraction. 9 states. You say, well, Alex, there's 41 others that are at least flat or going up. Yeah, that's true. But guess what? We haven't seen this since the Great Recession either. So how do you square the circle when we're told this is the greatest economy ever in the history of the United States? Try doing that geometry. Square that circle. These are the facts. So what's the distraction? Is it the impeachment? Are things going to get hairy there? Are we really going to see the truth? What was the cover-up? What was going on? Or is it the economy? Can't keep it propped up anymore. Where's the trade deal? 11 days away it's supposed to be signed. Will it? Will it be signed? Guess we're going to find out here shortly. Is it going to mean anything? Or has it been just a prop-up measure for the past year and a half being jerked around? Prop it up. Buy the rumor, sell the fact. Is that what's going to happen? When all else fails, take them to war. Got to get those oil prices up. What's the game here? What's the game? Is this a gamble? Is this truly calculated by the White House and the administration to take this guy out? To get the Iranians? Say, hey, we're serious here. We're showing you business. Now get back to the negotiating table. Even though we're the ones who walked away from the negotiating table, we're the ones that tore up the deal. Iran said, okay, you're going to tear up the deal. We're going to continue to enriching uranium. And then Donald Trump and company, maximum pressure. We don't like that. And now this, the escalation, the tit-for-tat, the attacks, the drone strikes, everything. From both sides. I commended the president for his restraint months ago. Now it appears that the heat in the kitchen is really coming to a boil. I know if these attacks were done against the United States of America, we would have retaliated by now. Now, of course, I guess you can say that's the perk of being the big man on campus. And the Iranians know it. They know, militarily speaking, they cannot defeat us. They can't. Especially if we take the gloves off. But of course, Iran is a bigger threat than was Iraq, than was Afghanistan. They're a better equipped military, better trained military. They have better hardware. It's not going to be easy. The terrain, very difficult in Iran. How much more do we want to spend? How much more do we want to waste? And of course, Donald Trump was the candidate of peace. Anti-war. Bringing troops home. Well, we're going to send another 3,500 more troops over there right now. In addition to the 14,000 that they already say are in the area. And I believe that number is a lot higher than that. Because it's not just troops. It's equipment. It's hardware. It's software. It's everything. I told you, when you spend that kind of money, you're preparing for something. Donald Trump wants to come out. There was no bullets. There was no ammunition when I came in. Nothing. $3 trillion is a hell of a lot of ammunition. What are we going to use it for? Well, apparently we're about to find out. This is getting ridiculous. And it's only the third day of 2020. Hindsight, we did not learn a damn thing over these past couple decades. And that's all. You go back further, of course, you can go back further and say, well, yeah, there's one more example where we're doing the same thing, expecting a different result. That, by definition, is insanity. But that's what we're doing day after day, night after night, week after week, year after year. Republican, Democrat in office, it makes no difference. I hope you're starting to understand this. It is divide and conquer, and they are playing all of us like a fiddle. Doesn't matter who's in that White House, it's the same jazz. The same song, same dance, just a different face. It's all it is a release valve for the masses. Democrat for 8 years, the Republicans are boiling over. Poof, release. Let's get a Republican in there. Maybe 4 years, maybe 8 years. Democrats come to a boil. Poof, release. Get the Democrat in there. That's all it is. Swinging back and forth, back and forth. $23, $24 trillion in a national debt. that's never going to be paid back. Hundreds of trillions in unfunded liabilities. That's your Medicare, your Medicaid, your pensions, all that stuff. These people aren't going to be paid. Their standard of living is going to collapse. This is what they are dependent on. Social Security was supposed to be supplemental income. No, that's what people are surviving off of. And of course, the cost of living adjustment is not true. So you're getting screwed twice. You had to pay the tax for your entire working career. And then they screw, the government screws with the calculation of inflation, so you get paid even less. Meanwhile, the cost of living is a lot higher than what they report. We all know this. Any of this making sense? Does Donald Trump talk about any of these points? The answer is no. Does Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, does anybody talk about these issues? No, they do not. It's all about human, it's all about, what is it, gay rights? Do we have to have three bathrooms? We got to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it. It has nothing to do with anything of the fundamental structural issues that need to be amended and changed in this country. Abolish the Federal Reserve, anybody talking about that? Nope. Abolishing the federal income tax, anybody talking about that? Nope. Educating the people as to why you need to abolish the Federal Reserve and the federal income tax? Any of that? No. No. Not a lick. It's divide and conquer. They're coming to take your guns. They're going to take abortion away. That's all. That's all it is. It's fear tactics. That's all. On issues that have very little to do with anything. Abortion ain't going away, folks. And they ain't ever taking guns away from Americans. It's just not going to happen. So get off of it. Get off of it. Focus on the crucial issues that truly matter. War should be at the top of the list because we're about to go into another one. And this, who knows what's going to break out, because you're going to have world powers really getting involved. This could be the spark of World War III. I'm not being hyperbolic. I hope this is not the case. I hope I'm 100% wrong. But when you take out a top general of a sovereign nation, it's an act of war. Because if it happened to us, we would be calling it an act of war. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If this was the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, be a big problem. Huge problem. Huge problem. This was Petraeus, McChrystal, Schwarzkopf, Colin Powell. Big problems. Huge. What are we going to do next? Well, we already attacked some more people this evening in Iraq. Are we going to continue over the weekend? Who knows? Is this going to be an excuse that Donald Trump can use as cover for a stock market crash or a major pullback? I had nothing to do with this. Nothing whatsoever. Even though I'm the one who ordered the attack. Iran's the bad guys. We got to take them out. With whose money? With whose life? How many more have to die? For what purpose? What are we going to do if we go to war with Iran? What's going to happen? Because we went to war in Afghanistan. We're still fighting that 20 years on. And Taliban is still in power. They have more power than they did 20 years ago. Iraq is in shambles. Their military can't even handle the Iranian threat. Can't even handle their own protesters. Nor should they. The protesters should be taking over. Can't handle that. We're back in there. That's a quagmire. Now, all of a sudden, we think we have the magic sauce to solve the problem in Iran? Are you kidding me? With what money and with whose life? This is serious stuff. It's only the third day of 2020. How is it going to escalate? How is it going to de-escalate? These are serious questions to ponder. We imagine that following the 3 days of mourning for the Iranian general, it's likely that the Iranians will respond after that. They could respond. They could be responding right now as I'm doing this podcast. Who knows? Who knows? Maybe it's being foiled by, you know, the CIA or some type of U.S. intelligence or special operations that very well could be taking place as well. We'll never know. We'll never know. We're not going to know the truth. These intelligence reports are not likely going to come out. Maybe years and years down the road they will, but not now. Highly unlikely, unless there's some type of major leak or whistleblower that comes out and says this was nothing. This was a standard report. This was a standard threat. And the belief that getting rid of this guy is going to solve the problem is also ridiculous. There wasn't a number two, not a number three guy, not a number four guy, not a right-hand man, nobody else. You're telling me if we lost one general, that would be it for the United States of America? I don't think so. There's always somebody to replace you. They'd say, well, this guy was the mastermind. You think he's the only one that can think? I think not. You think he's the only one that can plot attacks? I think not. So how much further is this going to go? Because we know for a fact that especially the hardliners in Iran are advising to attack the United States of America in some form or another, whether that's physically with bombs, weapons, or whether it's cyber or a combination thereof. They've already made the threat that there's going to be harsh revenge on the United States of America. They can't afford really to look weak against other countries in the nation, particularly Saudi Arabia. This was an act of war. I don't know if Donald Trump fully understands that or if he was just trying to be the tough guy and say, well, somebody had to do it. Bush didn't do it. Obama didn't do it. So I'm going to do it. Again, this was a bad dude that we got rid of, but there are plenty that are going to fill his shoes. And they could be just as bad, if not worse. And if you go after them, well, then it is war. And what's the cost and what's the goal? Because we were told we're not after regime change. Of course, I don't believe that for a second. We're not after nation building. Of course, I don't believe that for a second. It's scary. It's frightening how the same rhetoric is being used only 17, 18 years later. You know, you had a Republican in office in 1990. Oops, in Iraq we go. We had a Republican in office in 2002, 2003. Oops, into Iraq we go. 2020, we have a Republican president in office, and back into Iraq we go, and perhaps Iran this time as well. And not to mention the global protests taking place globally. You know the countries because we talk about them here all the time. And then what is this going to do for the 2020 race? Is Donald Trump going to look like the tough guy, the strong man? So, hey, we got to let Donald Trump go in there because he's going to take off the gloves. He's going to let the generals do their business, and we're going to take out these bastards of grays. All right, hoorah, hoorah, USA. Or is somebody like Bernie Sanders going to gain traction because he has been consistently anti-war basically for his entire political career? Joe Biden? Not the case. Not the case. He voted for Iraq, the Iraqi war. Sanders did not. So there is a strong distinction, differentiation. America typically does like the pro-peace, anti-war candidate. That was George Bush in 2000. That was Barack Obama. That was Donald Trump. Okay? The United States likes to vote in the person who is anti-war, pro-peace, and then that individual gets in there and we end up in war. Huh, go figure. Go figure. Just like Donald Trump saying when he was a candidate, what the Federal Reserve is doing is disastrous to this economy. It's all a bubble. Then he gets in there. Hey, keep the bubble going, man. I'm here. Keep the bubble going. In fact, put the pedal to the metal. I don't care what you do. 2020, we've learned nothing. Nothing. It is Friday. Enjoy your weekend. Perhaps I will do a week ahead segment on Sunday if there is breaking news or something strikes a chord and I have to just vent. I will do so. If not, enjoy your weekend and you will catch me back here on Monday. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.